Welcome, and thank you for listening to the Miami Vineyard Podcast. We hope this message encourages you, breathes life into you, and helps you experience God's love. Enjoy the message.
Hey, Miami Vineyard, so good to be with you, and so good to be with those of you online with us right now. Can we make some noise and welcome in our online Vineyard family? Hey, and while we're at it, could we make some noise and welcome, and not welcome, but let's celebrate those who are baptized here today. Can we make some noise and celebrate all of those? Hey. So my name is Kevin. I'm one of the pastors, and a couple weeks ago, I had a chance to do something, an opportunity to do something for the very first time. I played a game called pickleball. Anybody, I'm just curious, anybody has played pickleball? Anybody? Any? I see a couple hands. Okay. How many of you have no idea what I'm talking about? Pickleball. Okay, that's what I thought. So pickleball, there's a picture coming up on screen. Pickleball is a game that's played on a kind of a reduced size tennis court with a paddle, with an oversized ping pong battle, and a wiffle ball. You just hit it back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, and it's really a game that's kind of sweeping across the country because it's so much easier to play than tennis. And you don't got to move around as much. And so friends invited me to come play pickleball. And a couple of my friends, the group of guys I played with the other night coming up on screen. And so we went and played pickleball. Now, I never played before. So, you know, I did what everybody else does. I watch YouTube videos. And I kind of learned the rules. I kind of learned, what do you do? And so we went and played. I had a lot of fun. Now, four dudes, right? We're pretty competitive. And so it's going, we're having fun, but, we want to win. And so the game is like, you play to 11. And so the game is like 8-8 or whatever. And so pickleball, unlike like racquetball or tennis, you get one serve. And if you miss a serve, that's all you get. So I served the ball and I missed it. And on the other side, so it's a really close game. It's like 8-8. And the guys on the other side say, hey, give him another one. And I go, whoa, 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 whoa. I said, wait. I looked at YouTube, and I learned you only get one serve, and then you're done. They said, yeah, but we're going to give you another one. I said, really? And I said to myself, they should have never done that. Because I don't know if you know anything about your pastor, but I'm extremely competitive, especially when it comes to athletics. So we went on to win that game, and we went on to win every game that night. Yeah, baby. I just made that last part up. We didn't do all that. But they gave me another serve. I was so surprised and like shocked to get a second serve. It's like a second chance. You know, aren't we sometimes surprised when we get a second chance? But don't you love a second chance? You know, we all do. When you've not had time to study for that exam, and the professor pushes it off a couple of days. You go, yeah, I hear that. Thank you for that second chance, yeah. When you say something to your spouse or your significant other that you just wish you could get back again, and you say, honey, please give me a second chance. When you get pulled over by a police officer, and instead of giving you a ticket, he gives you a warning, yeah, thank God for the second chance, yeah. We love getting second chances, and you know what? God loves giving them. One of my favorite verses in the Bible is found in the book of Proverbs, chapter 28, verse 13. You see coming up on screen. It says, a man who refuses to admit his mistakes, or a woman, can never be successful. But if they confess and forsake them, they get another chance. God loves giving second chances. I'm just curious. How many of you, little honesty in the house, how many of you, at one point in your life, you have needed a second chance? Can I see your hands? Come on. Put them up online with us right now in the chat. Just put second chance. Look, if your hand's not up, you're a big fat liar. Okay, that's all I'm saying. Because we all need a second chance. This is why we have placed this as one of the core values at our church. Second chance. We're in this series called We Are Vineyard. We're looking at six core values that make us us. And so here's what we've said so far. Week one, we've said value of one more. We're always looking for one more because God is always looking for one more. We talked about the value of fun-loving. Week two, fun-loving. That a lot of people think you can't have fun when you're a follower of Jesus. Oh, we say, you can have fun as a follower of Jesus, and you can fun while you go to church. We talked about fun-loving. Last weekend, Pastor Nick looked at the value of always growing. That God loves us just the way we are, but he loves us too much to let us stay that way. So he's always constantly challenging us to grow, to evolve, to become everything he's called us to be. Always growing. And today, I want to look at the value of second chance. And as I mentioned, one of the things God loves to do is give second chances. You can see second chances in the Bible from cover to cover. You can see God giving second chances. The book of Genesis, chapter 3, Adam and Eve, first man, first woman. They ate from the tree God told them not to eat from. You can see God comes in, redeems, restores, gives them a second chance. He provides for them. He provides for their needs. You can see the story of David. In the Bible, David slept with another man's wife, a married woman, and then had the guy killed. And God gave him a second chance. Jonah, some of you know the story of Jonah, the big whale. He was supposed to go over here and speak. He didn't want to. But God gave him a second chance. Peter, one of Jesus' closest followers. Peter denied he ever knew Jesus. He even swore and cussed, "I don't know the man." And Jesus came back and restored him, gave him a second chance. The Bible is filled with stories of redemption and second chances. And today, I want to take a look at another one of those second chance stories in the Bible. But before I do that, I'd love for you to do something for me, and that is to locate the Miami Vineyard app. Because on the app are message notes. I'd love for you to locate some message notes. So if you've got the Miami Vineyard app already open, you can just open, or you can open that app. If you don't have the app downloaded, all the message notes are virtual, so you got to find them on the app. So if you don't have the app downloaded yet, simple, you can go to your app store, search Miami Vineyard, download the app, or if you're in the room today, there's a card in the seat back in front of you, looks like this, scan this QR code, and the app will download like that. Once you get the app downloaded, it's free download. Tap on this weekend, tap on message notes. This weekend, message notes. This weekend, message notes. And you can get the message notes right there in English and Espanol, right there. So that'll help you track with me as we go over the message today. So I want to look at a story today about Jesus and another person found in the Bible in John chapter 8, verse 2. We read this. At dawn, Jesus appeared again in the temple courts where all the people gathered around him, and he sat down to teach them. The teachers of the law and the Pharisees brought in a woman caught in adultery. They made her stand before the group and said to Jesus, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the very act of adultery." Now pause there for a moment, because sometimes we read stories like that and it's just like a story, right? You just kind of read it, just kind of gloss over it. Listen, I want to paint a picture for you of what's happening here. So Jesus is teaching, in a courtyard. So he wasn't actually in the building, but kind of outside the building. But just imagine a crowd like this, right? And all of a sudden, so he's teaching. He's standing like I'm doing on the stage right now. He's teaching. And all of a sudden, you hear this commotion, big commotion. Not a commotion like a cell phone going off or a crying baby. I'm talking a commotion. And these guys are coming in. They're talking loudly. And they're dragging with them a half-naked woman, probably, because they caught her in a very act of adultery. So they're dragging her in here, just dragging her through the crowd, through the people. Jesus is talking, and they make her stand up here in front of this entire crowd of people. That's what's going on right here, right now. That's the story. That's what's happening right now. And what's happening? And look in verse 5. So teacher, this one was caught in the very act of adultery. Verse 5. In the law, they're telling Jesus, in the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women. Now, what do you say? So they're bringing this woman in. Here's what they tell Jesus. And the law did say that. So, but look, they are not, this is not about the woman. The woman is just being an excuse. What they're doing, the religious leaders are trying to trap Jesus. You got to understand, back in Jesus' day, the religious leaders hated Jesus. Why? Because he talked about love, he talked about forgiveness, he talked about second chances, he talked about restoration. And the religious leaders didn't want that for the people at all. They wanted to keep the people under their hand and under the firm hand. They didn't want to give any of that stuff up. They hated Jesus. They wanted to get rid of Jesus. So they said, okay, we found a woman caught in adultery. We're going to bring her before Jesus. We're going to trap him because of this. Because the law of Moses said, if you're caught in adultery, you should get stoned. And they know Jesus doesn't want to stone anybody. But more than that, the rulers of the day were Romans. And the Romans said, nobody can execute anybody. We're the only ones that can. So they got him. He's going to either disobey the Jewish law or he's going to disobey the Roman law. They don't care which one he disobeys. They got him either way, or so they think. So they think. They got him either way. And so they're trying to use the Bible against him. And can I just say to some of you here today, some of you in your life perhaps, online, in the room, some of you have had somebody in your life use the Bible against you. It may have been a pastor. It may have been a leader. It may have been a parent. It may have been a friend. It may have been, I don't know who it was. And can I just say to you that if you had anybody in your life use the Bible against you, and you have hurt today, you've got pain today because of that experience, can I say to you, I am sorry, and I mean it. On behalf of Christians, on behalf of pastors, on behalf of churches, some of you have experienced some church hurt in your life because of a church. Listen, there's no perfect church. There's no perfect pastor. There's no perfect people. But I want to say that I am so sorry that the Word of God was used like that against you, because the Word of God is not meant for that. The Word of God is meant to inspire you, to encourage you, to give you hope, to give you redemption, to give you a second chance. That's what the Word of God is about. And if you're here today, and if you've experienced church hurt, and you're still here today, can I tell you, thank you for being courageous. Thank you for being courageous. Thank you. Thank you for giving church another chance. Thank you for giving God another chance. I thank you for that today. So back to our story. We've got this crowd. We got this woman. We got this religious leaders. They're trying to trap Jesus. So verse 5, in the law, Moses commanded us to stone such a woman. What do you say? So you got this huge commotion going on. People are watching, and they're like, what's going to happen next? And Jesus is just calm, cool, and collected, as he always is. Jesus didn't say a word. All this is going on, and Jesus doesn't say a word. Jesus just bends down, because they're outdoors, right? And the Bible says he starts writing in the ground with his finger. Now, what's he doing? And what's he writing? Don't you wish you knew what he was writing? I do. I wish I knew what he wrote. But the Bible doesn't say what he wrote. We have no record of what he wrote. We don't know what he wrote. But I can guess. Here's what I think Jesus did. I think he started writing the sins of all the religious leaders standing around there and drawing an arrow to each one of them where they were. That's what I would have done if that was me. I mean, I don't know what he did. Maybe he just wrote, let's go Dolphins. I don't know. I don't know what he wrote. I don't know. We don't know what he wrote. We don't know what he wrote. But we know what he said. Look what he said. Verse 7. When they kept on questioning him, he finally stood up. So they're just questioning him. You just see the barrage of questions coming. Not saying a word. Finally, he stood up and he said this. Let anyone of you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her. Now, you got to understand, this is not at all what they expected. Not at all, not at all. This shocked them, this surprised them. And so we read in verse 9, at this, those who heard began to go away one at a time, the older ones first, until only Jesus was left with the woman. So they're all left. They all left. They thought they had him. They thought, there's no way this guy is getting out of this trap. We got him with the Old Testament law, the law of Moses, we got him with the Roman law. There's no way he can escape. And he says, let's him who without sin cast the first stone. And one by one, beginning with the oldest one, they all walked away. So Jesus is standing alone with the woman. But here's my question. Where's the guy? Right? Last time I checked, adultery takes two. A man and a woman. Where's the guy? All the women in the house are going, get him, Rev Kev. Get him, Rev Kev. Where? Every woman in this room is thinking the same thought. Where's the guy? How come the woman gets dragged in front of everybody? Where's the guy? Was it okay for the guys to do that? Not for that? No, it was not. The law of Moses, the same law they quoted. The same law the religious leaders came in and quoted, they only half quoted it. Because the law said that both the man and the woman should be stoned. But they only brought the woman. Why? You got to understand, back in that day, it was a male-dominated society. The patriarchy was in full force. And women back in the day, I hate to say this, but they were very dehumanized. And they didn't, women didn't have much of a status or much of this back in, and men were always trying to look out for themselves, and the women were just pawns in a larger society. But can I also tell you this? When Jesus came to restore and elevate women. You got to know that. You have to know that. You can see from the pages of the Bible that Jesus elevating women, always elevating women. And can I say, at this church, we also strive to do that. We try to elevate women here at this church. And here at this church, we see ministry as something that's calling related, not gender related. So here at our church, women, you can do anything you want to do. Women, you can be anything you want to be. You can do anything you want to do, because that's what we see in the pages of the Bible. So Jesus looks down at this woman. So all the guys left. All those religious leaders left. Jesus is standing there with the woman. And he says to the woman in verse 10, Jesus looked at her and said, "Woman, where are they? Where'd everybody go?" Now he calls her woman, right? Sometimes we read this story, we're going, man, that Jesus kind of crassed her, call her like woman. You understand, back in the day, the word woman wasn't like it is today. It was like lady, dear lady, like señora. You know, he's calling her this. He says, lady, he says, where is everybody? Has no one condemned you? She looks around, she says, "No one, sir." He said, "Then neither do I condemn you." Jesus declared, "Now go now and leave your life of sin." Now, what's going on here? What's happening? This is one of the greatest second chance stories in the entire Bible. Because Jesus is giving this woman another chance, because he gets what he came to do. He came to rescue, he came to redeem, he came to restore, he came to give second chances. Think about it. The only person who could have picked up a rock was Jesus. He said, "Let him who is without sin cast the first stone." Well, that was Jesus. He's without sin, but he didn't pick one up. The only person who could have picked up a stone was Jesus, and he didn't pick one up. So he doesn't even mention the act. He said, "Go and be the woman I created you to be. Go and sin no more." Now, I know sometimes we read that story and we think, Jesus, come on, Jesus. You had this great opportunity to just speak against adultery and you didn't take it, Jesus. Because Jesus never came to hammer anybody with the Bible. Jesus came to give people hope and to give people life. Look, don't you think the woman knew she was guilty? Yeah. Jesus already knew that. You didn't have to tell somebody they're guilty when they already know they're guilty. She already knew she was guilty. But Jesus, you're letting it slide. He didn't let it slide. He accepted the woman without approving of her sin. Jesus was focusing her potential, her value, on what she could become, not on her sin. He says, "I will not give up on you." He says, "Go now and sin no more." Now, it's interesting in the Bible that the story, this powerful story, stops right there. Don't you wonder what happened to the woman? I do. I read stories like that. Well, where's the rest of the story? The Bible doesn't ever pick it up again. We don't know what happened with the woman. Did she stop that lifestyle? Did she reconcile with her husband? Did they go to counseling? I mean, we don't know. We don't know what happened with the rest of the story. But here's what I do know. I know for any one of us that has ever received a second chance, you know the power of that. You know what that feels like to receive that second chance. You know what that feels like on the inside. I want you to hear now a second chance story from someone here in our Vineyard family. Watch this.
Hi, my name is Stanley Shute, and this is my story. I started working for a faith-based nonprofit organization called Gang Alternative. And I was with them for about 6 months until I was terminated, unfortunately, for something that I had done in the past. And it was really hard to deal with that. We had to have a video conference to appeal DCF's decision about me not being able to work in a capacity with kids because of the charge that I caught. And fortunately, I wasn't judged based on what I did in the past. They were looking at my potential and what I've been doing, serving God's purpose. I love working on the camera. I realize that I'm not defined by what I've done. God's not even looking at that. What God wants me to do is focus on my potential so I can work His blessings as a vessel. 3 months later, I was exonerated. But not only was I exonerated, I continued to serve and not make it about myself. Everything starts to change when you don't focus on your past, when God gives you like that second chance, and when you really focus on Him. It's a beautiful story. Like, I'm doing well in my career. I have peace of mind with my daughter, a better relationship with my family. I just really appreciate my church family, and really more importantly, how God has given me a second chance that, hey, you're not that criminal. You're not the person who got caught in the hood doing something that you weren't supposed to do, that you're a beautiful child of God. I wasn't a true servant of God until I was tired, until I said, God, I need your help. I need your help with this mental depression. I need your help with the substance abuse. And I didn't realize that God had to be first. And Celebrate Recovery and serving on the cameras give you the tools to serve God not only Sunday, but Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday in a relational manner. My name is Stan, and this is my second chance story.
I love that story. Second chance story. We probably all got a second chance story. And so what does this mean for us today? I want to give you two next steps. If you got that message notes open, I want to give you two next steps. Here we go. Here's your next steps. Here's the first next step. Accept God's second chance. Accept His second chance. Now, I know for a lot of us today, we were thinking about this story, like, you know, the woman, like, being caught in the act of adultery, going, man, Pastor Kevin, I would never, like, do that. Okay, I hope not. I hope not. I hope that story, that exact circumstance would never be you. But all of us have our own things that we struggle with. All of us, including me. I know you might be looking up here going, oh, yeah, right, you. Come on, man. I can't imagine there'd be anything you struggle with. You're so nice. You're so kind. You're so warm. So handsome. So humble. Listen, we've all got things we wrestle with and we struggle with. I can't tell you how many times I've had to apologize to my wife. I don't like it, like, overly angry, but, you know, things get said sometimes, and I have to apologize. And with my kids, I got to apologize. Sometimes with the staff members, I got to apologize because I'm a human being like the rest of us. We all got stuff. And so when we think about that stuff we wrestle with, we can either own it and say, yeah, that's me, or we can deny it like it doesn't exist. Remember opening verse. If a person refuses to admit their mistakes, they can never be successful. But if they forsake them and confess them, they get another chance. That's when we get another chance. When we confess it, when we forsake it, then we get another chance. And this is what God wants to do for you. God wants to give you another chance. I mean, think about this woman caught in the act of adultery. Was the woman guilty? Yes, she was absolutely guilty. But Jesus didn't come to point an accusing finger. He came to give her grace, and He came to give her a free gift, and He came to give her a second chance. He wants to do the same thing with you. You know, I can't tell you how many people I meet all the time. I just love talking to people. I talk to people at Home Depot. I talk to people at Publix. I'm one of those strange people. I just like to just say, hey, and if, you know, hey, you know, and if hey turns in a little more, then we talk a little more. And I come home from Publix, and I tell my wife all about the cashier that I had that day and her story and her name and what happened in her life. And she goes, how do you know all that? I said, well, beep, 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 beep. We had a chance to talk while the beep, beep is going on. But so many people are just carrying around with them
You can see it. You can see it. You can see the guilt. You can just see the things they're wrestling with. And you can just see on people that they wish they had a second chance. Like, I wish my boss would give me a second chance. I wish a spouse would give me a second chance. I wish my friends would give me a second chance. I wish somebody would give me a second chance. You can just see it on people. You can see it on people. Everybody knows they messed up. Everybody. And everybody knows they need a second chance. You know, if we didn't call this church Miami Vineyard Community Church, I always wanted to call this church Church of the Second Chance. How cool would that be? What church are you going to do? Church of the Second Chance? Church of the Second Chance? That'd be such a cool name for a church. And so, but what do we do with this? Okay, so what do we do? Okay, we are people who have received a second chance from God. So what do we do with that? Look at the next verse. Be kind to each other, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. Look what it says. Be kind. That's a second chance. Be tenderhearted. That means sympathetic, understanding, compassionate. That's a second chance. Forgiving one another. That's a second chance. Because God has forgiven us, we should be forgiving to other people. In fact, the Lord's Prayer, who many of us know the Lord's Prayer, forgive us our trespasses as what? As we forgive those who what? Who trespass against us. That very prayer is saying, God, forgive me. God, give me a second chance in the same way I give others a second chance. That's what you're praying. Somebody going, I don't know if I want to pray that prayer anymore. God, give me a second chance in the same way I'm giving other people a second chance. We've gotten second chances from God. Now it's our turn to give those second chances away. So that's the first thing, accept God's second chance. And here's the second thing. Look up here for a moment. Here's the second thing. Ready? Drop the rocks. Drop the rocks. Would you agree with me that there's enough rocks being thrown around today in the media, in politics, Facebook, Twitter, on social media, that the last thing we need to be doing as Christians is throwing any more rocks? So here we are. It's Sunday before Tuesday's elections. The big midterms coming up on Tuesday. Some of you have already early voted. Some of you will vote on Tuesday. As your pastor, can I caution you against throwing rocks to people who vote differently from you? Can we just please drop the rocks? Because listen, neither political party is the answer. Neither political party is the answer. Democrats are not the answer. Republicans are not the answer. Independents are not the answer. Jesus Christ is the answer. Okay, think with me for a moment. Some of you may not know this, but when Jesus came here 2,000 years ago, do you know how often they tried to politicize Jesus? They tried to push and press Jesus into becoming king. Because they thought, if you were king, Jesus, if you were king, if you had the political power, then everybody would just be great. But the kingdom of God cannot be mandated and legislated by laws. The kingdom of God comes in the hearts and the souls of people when people turn their hearts over to Jesus Christ and he changes people from the inside out. Nobody sitting in office is going to change a life. Laws don't change lives. Jesus Christ does. Now, do laws make people behave a certain way? Yeah. But they don't change people. Only Jesus Christ does that. So it doesn't matter who we put in office. Now, should you vote? Yes, vote. Should you vote your values? Yes, vote your values. Should you be involved in politics? Yes, be involved in politics if that's what God's calling you to do. Absolutely, do all of that. But we have to understand that no Republican and no Democrat is ever going to usher in the kingdom of God. That our faith and our trust is not in a political party. Our faith and our trust is in the living God. So
So I'm going to vote on Tuesday. I'm going to vote my values. I'm going to vote who I want to vote for, and so should you. Well, who are you going to vote for, Pastor Kevin? None of your business. I wish Jesus was on the ballot. I would have voted for him. And don't vote for Pastor Kevin. I won't be on the ballot. But our faith and our trust is in God. Listen, listen, some of you, can I say to some of you? Look, some of you, the stuff that you post on your social media sites, the retweets of things that you post on your social media sites, do you realize how that affects somebody who votes differently from you? Well, I don't care about those people. That's the whole point of this message. Because if Christians would start acting like Christians, we could change the world. Well, I can't believe somebody feels that way. Okay, all right. Listen, you can speak the truth, but you can speak the truth in love. You can speak the truth, but you can speak the truth in love. Throwing rocks at people doesn't help with anything. All it does is intensify the rhetoric and intensify the conversation. I don't think there's a person in this country who wouldn't agree with me that we need to bring rhetoric down. Because rocks eventually turn into bullets and turn into a bunch of other things. Listen, as followers of Jesus, let's give second chances. Let's speak the truth in love. Let's be the people that God calls us to be. Because here's the deal. Look, when I'm holding rocks in my hands of any size, all I got is rocks in my hands. I can't use my hands for anything else. I can't. But if I set down the rocks, if I put down the rocks, now I've got hands free to help people. I got hands free to serve people. I got hands free to take somebody by the hand and lead them to Jesus. That's what I got going on. But if you're holding the rocks, all you got is rocks. You know what I've had to learn in my own life? I need to be less tolerant of the sin in my life and more tolerant of the sin in other people's lives. Drop the rocks. Give second chances. That's what Jesus said. That's what Jesus said. And folks, if we will do that, we can change a city. We can change a nation. And we can change a world with the kindness and the love and the second chance of Jesus Christ. Would you pray with me? Would you pray with me as we wrap this up in a prayer today? And as your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, just a quick way, just connecting with God right now. And God, even as we're in this moment where we just talked about, God, we're all guilty of throwing rocks. All of us, whether it's on social media or to our family or to people who disagree with us and whatever reason, God, we just throw rocks. And God, we're telling you today, we don't want to throw rocks anymore. Jesus, you didn't pick up a rock, and you could have. We don't want to be rock throwers anymore. We want to be people who give second chances. We want to be people who love people like you do. That's the kind of people we want to be. So God, today we say thank you for giving us second chances. Because we're only able to give second chances because you give us second chances. Thank you, God, for forgiving us and restoring us, redeeming us. God, thank you that you didn't come to condemn us, but you came to save us. And maybe right now, whether you're in the room with me right now, whether you're at home right now, if there's anything in your life, if you have going on that you know is not God-honoring, maybe right now, right here, right now, in this place is your time to say, God, I'm sorry for this, whatever this is. And God, I need your second chance. God, I need your forgiveness. I need your restoration, God. That's what I need. Maybe today, maybe here, maybe right now, you're going to say, God, I need your second chance for my life. And maybe there's some people in your world where you need to give them a second chance. Maybe it's a person you're sitting next to right now. Maybe it's a person in your family. Maybe it's a coworker. Maybe it's a boss. There's somebody in your life that you need to give a second chance to. You haven't given it for whatever reason. Maybe you sense God speaking to you right now and saying, I need to give so-and-so a second chance. Maybe you're going to send him a text this afternoon. Maybe you're going to make a phone call. Maybe you're going to see them tomorrow on the job. And you're going to say, listen, I'm sorry for saying this. I'm sorry for whatever. I'm sorry for just not giving you a second chance. And today, I'm with the church this weekend. The pastor guy talked about it. And I want to give you a second chance. I'm sorry. I really think God is doing something in our hearts and our lives right now, today. Maybe some of you on social media, you're gonna pull back the rhetoric. You're gonna speak the truth, but you're gonna speak the truth in love. You're gonna figure out how to do that. You're gonna speak the truth in love. And you're gonna be people, we're gonna be people who give second chances. And maybe you're in the room today, and maybe you heard a lot of talk about Jesus, and maybe if there's never been a time in your life where you've connected with Jesus, relationally connected with Jesus, maybe today you want to do that. So listen, I want to lead you in a short prayer. I'm going to pray it out loud, but you just pray it inside. Say, Jesus, today I want to connect with you. Jesus, if you are who Pastor Kevin says you are, if you are a person who gives second chances, if you are a person who redeems and restores and you want the best for me, then Jesus, today, I want that. And Jesus, today, I want to follow you. Jesus, today, I commit my life to following you. And God, I pray all these things today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen, amen.
So thanks for joining in today. If you enjoyed this podcast, we'd love for you to leave a review, subscribe to this channel, and share with a friend. We'd also love the chance to connect with you. You can text the word NEW to 786-705-8930. Again, that's NEW to 786-705-8930. And we'll give you some next steps with how to plug in and get connected here at Miami Vineyard. We hope you have an amazing week, and thanks again for listening.